It's been 4 weeks, and I can still smell the heatsink. The hard drive had never been formatted.
Xbox 360 was called the console of dreams. And it was. It really was.
In a world where everyone wants the newest and best hardware,
Xbox 360 will be the grandest console ever built by the hand of man in all history.
Yes, but perhaps it is too big? We all know what happened to the 3DO.
Rubbish! One man yearns for more.
It's a beautiful glowing blue light. Thank you, Wii.
You're welcome. Oh, open your heart to me, Jones. You know there's no game I couldn't give you.
What about Gran Turismo? Or Final Fantasy?
Okay, well, no Nintendo game.
And he'll take the journey of a lifetime to find it.
I saw my whole time with the Wii as if I'd already played it. An endless parade of Mario Party games and Zelda spin-offs. I'm gonna jump! The Wii is so shitty! I can't take it anymore!
Don't do it.
Who are you?
Me. I'm the Xbox 360.
Tell us the benefits of Xbox Live Silver, Mr. Jones. I hear it's quite good on this console.
The best I have seen, ma'am. Hardly any advertisements.
But now that he's found love, what is he going to do with it?
Jones, I want you to use me like one of your Japanese consoles. Playing this game. Playing only this game.
I've looked everywhere, Wii. I can't find a Jones.
This is absurd. It's the internet. There's only a few million places he could be. Mario, find him.
You're trembling, Xbox.
Plug your controller into me, Jones.
I can smell system failures, you know, when they're coming. Bollocks.
When this round of Halo ends, I want to party up with you.
This is crazy.
I know. That's why I trust it.
Boy, it's getting hot out here. Oh shit! Call the bridge!
Is there anyone there?
Yes, what do you see?
Ball grid array sort of failure! Right ahead!
Thank you.
At a cost of a few billion, prepare yourself for the most expensive console line in history.
The disc cannot be read? What the hell is going on?
The Xbox can keep running with two red lights, but not three. Not three!
But this console can't crash!
It's made by Microsoft, I assure you, it can.
He's got a modded Xbox! That's the master at arms!
This is horse shit. I didn't copy that DVD. You know I didn't do it, Xbox! You know me!
He couldn't have I walk with him the whole time.
Perhaps he did it while you were putting your faceplate back on, dear.
It's the movie everyone will love until it gets too popular and then they'll hate it.
Will the repaired units be shipped according to GamerScore?
Oh, shut up. The heat sinks are boiling and there aren't enough fans. Half these people are going to lose their gamer scores.
Not the better half.
You unimaginably shitty console.
Starring Jason Jones.
Run, Xbox, run!
I hope you enjoy your online together.
A Nintendo Wii.
Next-gen consoles only. Wii, stop right there.
I have a motion control. I have a motion control. Please, it's all I have in the world.
All right, climb aboard. Wanker.
And a cardboard box of fate.
You've got to live on, Jones. You're gonna find a new Xbox and earn lots of achievements.
No, not without you.
Being rushed to market was the best thing that ever happened to me, Jones, because it brought me to you.
X-Tanic.
I'll never let go, Xbox. I'll never let go.
Coming this summer, or maybe Christmas.
Welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode number 33, I think. I am Ben Heckendorn.
And I am Jason Jones.
Yes.
Is this the final insult?
Like,
what? 33 and a third?
Oh.
We're almost. We need that third, though, I guess.
That one wasn't very good.
It was okay, though.
It was funny when the camera came out of the, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Oh, right at the beginning?
Yeah. During the opening thing. And didn't Zaza Gabor punch the camera in the beginning of it?
Yep, at the end she comes up and slaps it.
She was in Touch of Evil. You've seen that movie, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's got that awesome shot at the beginning that goes on for like 3 or 4 minutes.
I'm supposed to make a thriller at Universal. They want Charlton Heston to play a Mexican. Is it all worth it? Yeah, it's the greatest movie ever made. Oh, I saw in The Onion, apparently some theater had a showing of that, like, a few weeks ago.
Of Ed Wood or Touch of Evil?
Ed Wood.
Really?
Edward D. Wood Jr., sir.
That's pretty sweet.
Ed Wood is, I've probably mentioned on here before, is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it'd be in my top 10. Yeah, it seems like around here they're getting a little That's kind of coming back again, where they're showing old movies at some of the theaters. Because I know Dale said, like, a month or two ago, they had The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly at Westgate, I think.
Yes!
So that's pretty slick. Hopefully they start doing that. It'll give me a reason to go to the theater, because none of the new shit makes me want to go, so... I'll go see movies that I already have on DVD in the theater.
Okay, well, since we've been pressed for time, Jones has been rigging on his basement, and I've been doing things as well. We only came up with one topic for today, but don't worry, we can fill up the rest with the rambling. Topic includes retail customer service, and why does it suck so much?
Ugh.
A couple days ago, I was at Ace, and I got very frustrated with... Not the Ace in Verona, different Ace. I got very frustrated with the people there. Helpful Hardware Place my ass. So, I'm like, well, this would be a good podcast topic, especially considering, you know, the big shopping week is starting this week.
Yes.
And Jones, you used to work at Walmart for a few years back in the day.
Yeah, I took my fair share of bullets. So.
I worked at Funko Land. That was the only time I ever had a retail job, but I guess I could talk about... I thought that was great, but...
Yeah, that probably would have been cool. I worked at Walmart, so, you know.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk about that, and then... Obviously, you've heard our intro. It's... Jones, you want to talk about that?
No! Yes, I have fallen victim, finally, to a failed 360... My big, bad, like, five-month-old Elite just decided it didn't want to read discs anymore. Like, I don't know, what was that, like a week or so ago now, probably? So, shipped it off on Friday afternoon, and it's...
After taking a picture of it for the poster.
In its coffin, so we'll see what sort of state it returns in. But, I did not get the Ring of Death. I was in the middle of playing Madden 08, and I was about 20 minutes in, and I had noticed the disc drive seemed a little louder than usual, if that's possible, and all of a sudden it started making this crazy thrashing sound, and went and ejected the disc quick, thinking that it was destroyed, but it wasn't, no scratches or anything, but it just makes some really hellacious sounds if you try to put a disc in, and half the time it won't even read the disc, so...
So how was customer service?
It was fine. I just, I didn't even call them. I just went on Xbox.com. They have a support page. I registered my Xbox. They knew what day I had bought it on or whatever, because it showed, like, the date of the warranty going into effect.
Oh, did they get that off the serial number?
Yep. And,
did it keep your receipt?
No, they didn't ask for any of that. It had it right...
Oh, really?
It must be when I bought it. Like, when you buy it at the store, they usually scan the serial number, too, I think, so it must somehow... track it back into Microsoft's records somehow so they know that.
Oh, but, I actually kept my receipt, but I guess I don't need it now.
Yeah, you know, I keep it anyway, but...
It's around here someplace.
Yeah, all I did is I went online and, you know, they have a little box you fill in saying what's wrong with it. You send it off and, I don't know, like within, God, it was probably 2 or 3 business days, the coffin showed up and... Open up the coffin, throw it in, send it off, and away you go.
Step one, Microsoft sends you a box. Step two, stick your Xbox in the box.
And you just got to make sure you take your faceplate off and take your hard drive off before you send it in. They don't want you to send any of your stuff with it, so. Probably because
right.
I won't get the same one back.
I'm sure you won't. So, remember how you wouldn't check it? Well, obviously, it wasn't a heat sink problem, but you were like, no, I won't use your method to check my heat sink. And then one day I showed up here, also, I'm like, I'm going to check your heat sink, goddammit.
Yeah, and you screwed me over. If you wouldn't have
looked.
Oh,
it's all my fault.
It is. But
also, let me get this straight. I jinxed you because I took a picture of your non-existing new heat sink.
Yes, you disturbed the insides.
So anyway, maybe we get an Elite back that has the new... Oh, I would think even if they refurbished it, they would put on the new... Well, you might get your old unit back, because...
Yeah, it's just the disk drive. It's not like it's the Ring of Death, so... You'd think they just have to throw in new drive and reflash the chipset in it so that it recognizes the drive, so it'll work with the motherboard and everything. I mean,
well, and you'd hope they'd stick on the new heatsink, too. I mean,
yeah.
You would appreciate that, wouldn't you?
I suppose. I'd appreciate them putting in a quieter disk drive. That'd be really awesome, but not going to hold my breath on that. But yeah, so that's my story. So now I'm dead in the water for probably close to a month.
So do you feel disenfranchised by the brand?
No. Shit happens, you know. I've had cars. Some cars, you know, work forever without problems. Other ones,
Fords.
Yeah, usually Chevys, but... Or actually Cadillacs. One Cadillac was good, the other one was a rebranded Opel, and that thing was a piece of crap. But you know, shit happens, you know. I've had Sony products forever, and every one of them has worked great, except for one stereo I had of theirs, probably, you know, 10, 12 years ago, and had to take that in and get the disc tray fixed in it a couple of times, and that's life. You suck it up and you move on, so... And I haven't gone out and bought a PS3 or anything, so...
Well, did you see that article where one was filled with dust, and they wouldn't fix it because it was an act of God?
A PS3?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, it was on joystick. Some guy's PS3 broke, and he sent it in, and it looked like it had gone cross-country across, like, Death Valley.
Through the Rubicon or some shit.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And they wouldn't fix it. I guess I can't blame them. It was like just... I don't think I've ever seen a console. It looked like the kind of computer that would be like sitting back in a shop for 5 years.
Yeah.
It would look terrible.
Probably looked like one of our switches at work from a few years ago when we were doing this big remodeling project at work. And they were going through and tearing out all these walls and stuff. But we had to leave this one closet operational and it had a switch in it. And I don't know how the hell that switch kept running, because we pulled that thing out of there after it was all over. That thing was just full of dust. Like, we took it outside and just took a air hose up to it and just blasted through it, and crap just kept coming out of it for like 10 minutes. It's the nastiest freaking thing ever. But those were extreme switches, so for anybody that wants a higher-end switch, they're pretty damn rock solid.
Not even God can sink this switch. what games have you been playing lately? Oh, wait. Oh, no, I know you have a spare Xbox, so I can't make fun of you for...
Yes, I'm borrowing my good friend Kurt's, because he wasn't using it at the moment, so... But I got that Scenic game, actually, the one that comes with, like, the four little buzz-in controllers and all that.
Oh, yes.
The movie trivia game. We actually got to play that the other day. And I whooped your ass, but that's fine. That's pretty cool. I mean, if anybody out there's ever played, like, the board game versions of it...
How much does it cost?
$60.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. You're starting to get, like, these, you know, hardware with it.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, movie trivia game, and they have all sorts of different ways they ask you questions and stuff. And it's a good time, good party game, I guess, you know. Probably get kind of boring sitting there playing it on your own, but that's all right. And other than that... I'll save the others until after you've said yours, because we can kind of mutually talk about those couple others.
Oh,
probably.
Those new ones,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, okay. I don't know.
I got one more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, I didn't actually get to play it, but I got to see it played for probably about 45 minutes to an hour, and got to kind of take it in was Mario Galaxy for the Wii, actually.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
Yes. And, probably to many people's shock out there, I actually thought it looked fun, and it's probably the first Mario game I could actually say I have an interest in since Super Mario World from, what, 13 years ago, or whenever, the 15 years ago?
16.
16. So, yeah, I don't know, it seemed pretty clever, you know, I thought the Wiimote stuff...
You didn't
seemed...
like Mario 64?
No, I did not care for that game at all. I did like the Super Mario RPG, but that doesn't really count, so... But I thought it looked like the gameplay was pretty good. I thought the Wiimote stuff looked stupid, though, but otherwise... Because it was like, you go around with the nunchuck, and you move your dude using the thumbstick on the nunchuck, but then you use the Wiimote to move this little cursor on the screen to pick up stars and stuff. I don't know, it just seemed kind of lazy to me, but... Whatever. It was, you know, a way they could use the Wiimote in the game, I guess. And then there's parts where you have to, like, kind of teleport through these star things to different planets and all that, and you have to, like, swing the Wiimote around in a circular motion for Mario to jump through them, and, you know, again, it's like, why can't I just hit a button to do that, but whatever. But, I mean, those are kind of minor quibbles. I like the fact that they didn't try to, like, ram the Wiimote crap into it. They just, you know, kind of put it out on the periphery and let the game kind of do
its own
talking.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it has about as much functionality, you know, like the DS games, you know, sometimes they use the D-pad for, the touchpad for very, very little.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of like that.
But yeah, overall, I thought it looked pretty good. I mean, it had some issues. Like, I thought the stuff where you're out kind of running, there's these parts where there's these little globes you're, like, running around on, and you have to do different tasks on them, and that stuff seemed okay.
Don't they kind of rotate as you run around them?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I see, there was, sorry to interrupt, but one of the aborted Saturn Sonic games was like that. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but for any of you out there, look up Sonic the Hedgehog on the Saturn, the prototypes. You can find videos on the internet, and it's very similar to the Mario running around little worlds in Mario Galaxy.
Oh, really?
So.
But yeah, then when you get to the actual worlds and stuff like that, I don't know if that's what you call them, but, you know, it's kind of more of you're on, like, flatter surfaces running around, and there's the blocks that you can hit to have mushrooms come out of them and crap, and that stuff seemed like it was pretty cool. So I would say if Nintendo could crap out 5 games like this one that look as fun and of this quality, I would think about buying a Wii. I'll actually say that. But, I mean, that's kind of been my argument all along. It's like, they don't have crap that I give a shit about. They don't have anything I want to play. So here's one game now that I'm like, that looks interesting. But it's not enough to make me go out and buy the system. But if I had the system already, I would go and buy the
game.
So
it's like the 51st date syndrome.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray.
Pretty much. Yeah. Good game and all, but, you know, I'm not going to go and drop $250 on the system to be able to play it, so.
I thought it looked a lot like Mario 64. Maybe I'm confused.
I don't know, I remember I tried with Mario 64, and I know it gets, like, raves as being, you know, like, one of the greatest games ever made and stuff.
The only Mario game I've ever beat.
But I couldn't get into it. I loved, like, you know, the Mario 2, Mario 3, and Mario World.
It had a lot of backtracking on it. That was a little repetitive.
Yeah.
Like, you keep going to the same stage over and over and over to find one more star that's a little higher up, and yeah.
So there, so I didn't bash the Wii for once, other than that it doesn't have shit other than this game, pretty much.
Other than the intro.
Yes, but there's like a little glimmer of light there for it now. But just a glimmer.
It's the same glimmer as always. Good first-party games.
Yeah. Well, Zelda sucked, though, so.
Yeah, I didn't really care for that. It's just the same old thing as usual. Okay, let's see. I have been...
Oh, come on, talk about your big bone you've got to pick.
Okay, well, my big complaint for the week, I mean, I don't usually go out of my way to be upset about something for a long period of time, but now my bone of contention for the last week is Call of Duty 4, which is insanely short.
I warned you.
I know, I was like, I think I might get Call of Duty 4, and you're like... Jones is like, I'm going to rent it. It's supposed to be very long. And I'm like, oh, they said that about other games like Stranglehold and Lost Planet, and those were fine. But no, I blew through Call of Duty 4, and probably, if it was 6 hours, I'd be surprised. I mean, the running number on the internet, everyone seems to say like 5, but I think people always kind of exaggerate about that. And
like you told me, you weren't even like, trying. Like everybody out there that's a gamer, they know that what it means to be trying to beat a game.
Right, I beat Bioshock in like 2 days, but I was like playing the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this I just played it, I don't want to say casually, but I just played it a couple nights and bam, I was through it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and you just played it like an hour here and a couple hours there, and it was...
Normally it takes me about a week to get through the average game, and very disappointing, and I guess maybe we could talk about this as kind of like a subtopic since we don't really have a lot of topics, but I don't know. I see it as the the single player has less emphasis than the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I don't really like where that's going because, I mean, you're the same way. I buy a lot more games rather than buy one game to play it, you know, for six months.
Yeah.
So for me, I'd rather like have like a good 10-hour experience with the game and then be done with it than a very short game that I'm supposed to get all my enjoyment on online.
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally agree. It seems like, you know, some of these companies are kind of going down that path to some extent, and hopefully it doesn't continue that way, because I think there's still a lot of value in the single player in games.
And like Oblivion?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I can still play that. There's always something to do.
Yeah? Yeah.
It's awesome.
Unlike, you know, Mass Effect's coming... supposed to come out tomorrow, I guess, or whatever, and, you know, that looks kind of like a
except
similar...
Except for the stores that broke the street date.
Yes, which we were fortunate enough to have one of those in the Madison area over the weekend, but...
That's right.
But, you know, that one looks like it could be a lot like, you know, Oblivion in space or whatever, you know, but, it, you know, maybe even a bit more to it than
Oblivion
that.
Oblivion is the new Die Hard.
That's right.
For every game... Because back in the 90s, every movie was described as Die Hard on a blank.
Yeah, on a bus or whatever.
And now it's Oblivion with or in space, yeah. Oblivion with guns.
With guns, yeah. But, yeah, it's, you know, like Halo, you know, I liked what Bungie did with Halo 3 because, you know, they could have pretty much just pooched the campaign, which I'm not going to say the campaign was the greatest thing on Earth. The story definitely had its fair share of flaws and... all that, but, you know, they made it so that you can play it single player, or you can have people online join you, or somebody
right.
that comes to your house can join you
oh,
and play it.
Oh, the single
it.
Player in Call of Duty 4 was much better than the one in Halo. However, I got a lot more value out of the Halo single player because, yes, I mean, playing online, or people that need yeah. to beat a certain stage, and
yeah.
it's a lot more fun when you're playing with your friends, and even if the game itself is lackluster, the co-op gives it a lot of value.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like we were talking about that the other day, and I figure I've probably had to have at least played through the campaign on Halo 3 times by now, and all that, and it's, you know, just from meeting up with different people, and they're like, oh, I need this skull, or, you know, oh, I need to pass this level, or whatever, you know, and you're like, okay, fine, let's go rock it quick, you know, and it's always fun.
Yep.
So.
And watch out for purple crotch.
Yeah. And that was one of the things with Call of Duty, too, you know, or Call of Duty as well, or 4, however I want to say it, but is that the thing that's irked me about the Call of Duty game since I first played Call of Duty 2 is it's like, why don't they make this co-op? Even if it's local co-op and not even online.
Yeah, because you're always in a squad of soldiers
yeah,
or something.
It's not like you're this lone gun running around saving the day. You know, and like Call of Duty 4, again, would have been a perfect opportunity to do that and add life to the game. But they chose not to do that, I guess. So, I think this is one of those areas where Halo 3 did raise the bar, and it kind of shows some of the shortcomings of other games out there.
Right.
So, it... Yeah, I'd, well,
yeah
like,
I can't get on this Call of Duty 4 pwns Halo 3 bandwagon. I would not agree with that, mostly for the co-op features and whatnot.
And like you got the Forge and all that stuff, you know,
oh,
for
yeah.
doing the online multiplayer. And but the thing too, like with Call of Duty 4, is I got to play it the other night when you and Kurt swung by or whatever, and I played through like a stage, and you're like, oh, congratulations, you just beat like one. Sixth of the game or whatever, and it only took me, you know, maybe 20-30 minutes to get through that stage. I mean, I'm sure some of the later stages take a bit longer, but and it had some cool stuff to it. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's crap, but
oh no, it's not. It's just
but
short.
It's yeah, it was like it was pretty neat. You're on this ship and all that, and the ship starts to sink, and so you keep getting flopped from side to side as you're running through it, and stuff like that was kind of neat. It, you know, kind of injected a little bit of adrenaline or whatever while you're playing it. But
oh, the end of the game is very cool as well, although it kind of reminded me of all the other Infinity Ward game endings. That's how I could tell. I'm like, oh, I was like, oh, this is the last stage I can tell because either a rocket's going to be fired, I'm in an underground base shooting people, and then there's a car chase. The car chase was pretty cool, but again, short.
Oh yeah, then there was that ridiculous like cutscene during like it's the opening credits scene after you beat
the
first level.
The disposed general or whatever.
Yeah. And it's like after you beat the first mission, then it goes into this credit sequence and you're like riding in this car as this, you know, president of the country or whatever you are who's being taken to be executed or whatever, I guess. And it just goes on forever. I mean, it probably did go on damn near 10 minutes. I mean, it looked nice and everything, but it was like, you know, come on. Is this really necessary?
Yeah, why didn't they spend whatever it took to make that level and make it a level you could play or something?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I know it was a change of pace from World War II, but it's still the same kind of game. Go in that building, protect that tank, shoot these rockets. I mean, yeah. Being modern day didn't make a big difference in the way the game was played. I think the biggest difference is the hill, like the satellite imagery and like zoom down to the surface. And that stuff is cool. The presentation's really nice, but count me disappointed, especially when either of the Half-Life 2 episodes were just as long as Call of Duty 4, but at a third the price.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I chose not to jump in on Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, some guy on my site posted, he was posting on my Call of Duty 4 complaint entry, and he's like, what about Portal? And I'm like, Portal didn't cost $50, and it had a companion cube. Plus, it was cool as hell.
Well, in Portal, I mean, it's, you know, one component of that whole package, and, you know, it took, you know, 2.5-3 hours to beat, whatever. Well, that's half the time it takes to beat Call of Duty 4, apparently.
Portal's awesome. I hope they make some map packs for it.
Yeah, I could see where they could make
some. You know they'll bring the companion cube.
Bring the cube back. Yeah. Oh God.
I wonder if when they made that, if they knew people would like just latch on to things so much, you know, like
yeah, you gotta
companion
wonder.
Cube and cake.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have thought that about the companion cube, because otherwise they probably would have had it around for more than one level, you know. But
when you had
hilarious.
To euthanize it, that was. It was like the end of Titanic. It was
it's
so
like,
sad.
No!
Companion cube!
I will never forget you.
Well, I'm sure the portal gun will show up in Half-Life 3.
Yeah.
Episode 3.
Well,
whatever. Looking forward to that. Yeah, so shall we move on to our first topic?
Sure.
See, we made our intro go kind of long, so it would make
Or
up
do
for
we
want to
talk
topics.
About those other couple of games?
Let's break it up.
Or
let's
save
talk about
them
customer
later.
Service first.
Okay.
Let's talk about that for a little bit, then we can talk about those games we played. Yeah, because Assassin's Creed was definitely a WTF kind of game. All right, well, we're going to talk about customer service now.
Or the lack thereof. Or what you should expect. Should you expect the expected?
Expect the expected. Crap. Well, I don't know about you, but I, you know, whenever I go into a store and if I know more than the employees about something, I don't like that.
Yeah, I've had that happen when I've gone to buy a car. Now that's really sad.
Yeah, well,
I mean, yeah. I'm into cars, but I mean, Jesus.
Well, you kind of are into cars.
Yeah, but I mean, still, if you're selling the things, you damn well better know as much as some schmuck like me. I'd like to think, but anyway.
Right. So I don't know if it's just us, you know, since we're obviously so brilliant, or if it's just the ineptitude of customer service. But I was at an Ace Hardware the other day, and hopefully none of them listened to this podcast. Like I said, it wasn't the one in Verona. That one's fine. But I was trying to find some motor brushes, and I might as well have asked them for moon rocks or something. They're like, motor brushes? You mean to clean the motor? And I'm like, no. It took me like 10 minutes, and finally I'm like, well, let me use my deductive reasoning to figure out where they might be in the store. Then I found some Dremel motor brushes, and I just thought, I'm like, for crying out loud, this is your job. You're supposed to know this shit.
Well, yeah, you know.
Then, like, remember the other day when we were at Circus City looking at those TVs?
Yeah.
That was a really productive afternoon.
Well, yeah. It was a good time, though.
And then you and I figured out that 120 hertz film rate thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Of course, you were the one who did the math, not me. I failed on that, but...
I must be an Atari Jaguar fan, because I did the math.
Anyway, I wanted to ask one of the clerks about it, but what do you bet they wouldn't have even understood the concept?
Yeah, they wouldn't even understood the question, I don't think, so...
Because some of these new HDTVs have this really neat motion look to them. The motion just looks really good, and then they're advertising as having 120 hertz refresh rate. Then I'm like, quick, Jones, does 24 go into 120? And you're like, yes, five times. And I'm like, aha! This has an exact multiple of the frames per second of film, instead of having to, like, do a pull down to knock it up to 30 frames a second, knocked up to 30 frames a second from 24. So I'm like, since it has it can exactly double the frames, that must be why it looks so smooth. Then I'm like, we got to ask the store clerk to verify this. And he was too busy trying to sell some guy something. So
yeah, and I was just like, don't even bother.
That was the one time I was at Circuit City when there's no people around to help at all.
Yeah, usually there's like armies of employees standing around at the ready, but not this time.
But, because that one TV, like the newer version of the TV you have, it has that. It was labeled as having that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, customer service is generally pretty spotty, I would say. I think, you know, a lot of it is just that, you know, like I can look at it from when I worked at old Wally World back in the day, and I worked in the electronics department, you know, and that was a good time, and I was, you know, fairly knowledgeable about most electronic-type items, I would say, you know. But there was one day in particular where this dude comes in and he wanted to buy a camcorder. I didn't know shit about camcorders. I still don't know shit about camcorders, because they just don't really interest me that much. But this dude's sitting there, you know, asking me all these questions, and I'm like, well, I don't know, I'll have to, you know, look up, you know, look in the manual or something, whatever, you know, I'm trying to get the guy the answers and all that, and he got, like, more and more frustrated with me and all that, and finally I just let it out, and I said, dude, I'm going to college for nothing related to selling camcorders or hawking stuff in a store. You know, I'm like, I get paid freaking minimum wage. They don't pay me or train me to be a goddamn expert on this shit and all that. I left the profanity out, but otherwise the tone was pretty much the same. And the dude's like, after like a minute or two, he kind of looked around a bit more, then he's like, oh, I guess I'll take this one. And then I'm over there ringing him out and all that, and he's like, so what are you going to school for? And, you know, I told him and all, and he's like, oh, that's good. You know, yeah, there's plenty of jobs and that. And it was just funny because, like, his whole attitude changed because he came in with this expectation that I'm walking into a Walmart. Obviously, anybody in here should be an expert on any product, you know, and he realized, oh, wait a minute, that's probably an unreasonable expectation. Now, if I walk into a Best Buy or a Circuit City, I'd say you probably should expect that if they've got somebody working in their camcorder department, that the person should be somewhat knowledgeable because they're an electronics store, it's more specialized, whatever. But like when you're in a Walmart or a Target where it's just, they kind of slop all this stuff together and they have like one or two guys, you know, working
there.
And call
it a day.
You know, you can't really expect people to be experts on this stuff, I guess.
The one time I was at Circuit City and I was asking one of the guys some questions. Actually, it's about those speakers right there in that thing. And he actually went and got the dimensions of the speakers off a website and everything for me.
Nice.
And then I bought them.
Yeah, like when I bought my TV at Circuit City, the guy was pretty knowledgeable that I talked to, actually. He was fairly on the ball, which is good, so. My biggest problem, like, when I go to Best Buy and stuff, is you can't even friggin' find anybody, and then when you do, the people don't even really seem to want to help you.
They're probably trained to identify who will spend the most money. No, seriously,
I'm sure.
If it's like, okay, let's say you're someone working at one of those stores, and you're on commission, even though they say they aren't, we all know they are. for better or worse.
They actually aren't at Best Buy, though.
Yeah, but, you know, they sure as hell have, like, some sort of, like,
cause my
percentage point target they probably have for the month or something. There's always something.
Yeah, there's incentives. They don't really get much out of it, though. Like, my neighbor, he worked there, and he worked in their computer department, and he said people would ride their ass all the time about getting sales, but doesn't give him anything more at the end of the day.
But they're supposed to get sales and upgrades.
Yeah, they're pushed to get sales. Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, okay, let's say you're an employee of one of these stores. If, like, you or I walk in, and we're, like, talking about electronics and stuff, or you can go talk to, like, a couple in their 50s. Who are you going to try to upsell to? So you're going to give the couple in the 50s, you're going to go talk to them first because, you know, you can probably hoodwink them easier.
Yeah, probably.
You know? Like, my own parents are like that. Like, I was talking to my uncle about this the other day. He's like, yeah, your stepdad seems to think he has to buy a $100 converter box for when the analog signals go away. And I'm like, well, I suppose he could, but he could also just buy an HDTV.
Yeah.
But they just don't understand. You know? So, I think that's why a lot of times the customer service would be like, kind of look for a target, you know, like a scam artist would. I hate to put it that way, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, and I prefer stores where you can just go in and get your shit done and get out of there without even having to deal with anybody.
Well, that's why I like Circuit City.
Yeah.
Oh, I should also mention Circuit City did not pay us to say that. We just say it. It's like Consumer Reports.
Yeah, I used to like Best Buy a lot, but I'm liking them less and less because they're kind of turning into the Walmart of electronics stores where they, you know, throw crap in every aisle possible, you know, try to fill up the space as much as they can with junk instead of making it so people can get through the store to get to what they really want to buy. And all that, where Circuit City, the aisles are still pretty open. You know, there's like a path that goes all around the store. It's very easy to navigate around in there. It's not crammed full of shit.
That's a good point.
That's why Target's way cooler than Walmart. It's because the aisles are nice and wide and all that. I know I sound like I'm anti-Walmart, and maybe I am a little, but
I am.
I don't have, you know, a big cross to bear with them like a lot of people do, but I try to,
Walmart, why have you forsaken me?
But, I tend to try not to shop there if I can help it. And it's more so for the fact that it's just not as nice of a shopping experience, I guess, is the way I would put it. Like, today I went to Target again. I could have went to Walmart, but I went to Target, because...
Does Target have X-Acto knife blades?
Probably. I haven't gone and looked any time lately, but... As big as that store is, it's got to have a couple of blades in there, I would think.
That's good.
But yeah, so...
Well, of course, we all know my now classic story about the Chip Smashers.
Yes.
I think that's pretty much released that was at GameStop, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
See, now, the only time I ever had a retail job was I worked at Funko Land for a Christmas season back in 1995. That was an awesome job. I loved it. And you know what? I actually knew more about video games than the customers.
Yes.
What a shock! But isn't that the way it should be?
That's why you'd recommend Hell, a Cyberpunk Thriller.
Oh, yes! We should talk about that! Okay, back when I worked at Funko Land, the 3DO was still in some sort of limpy life stage.
Yes!
I think they were selling them for like $90 or something and included that Gex game. But they hadn't died yet. Of course, we also had the Sega CD-ROM, Sega Saturn, 32X, Virtual Boy. Wow, that was one hell of a year. Anyway, so we had a used game on the shelf. It was called Hell, a Cyberpunk Thriller. It was a 3DO game. And the big joke was, the parents would always come in and always ask, what's a good game for kids? And I always tried to like give them Kirby's Adventure, which is a really good game on the Nintendo. One of the later Nintendo games and whatnot. And anyway, so we had this joke. We're like, well, you know, these parents always ask, a good game for kids. We should end up pointing them toward Hell, a Cyberpunk Thriller. It's been sitting there on the shelf for a while. I think it really needs a good home. So, many millennia later...
Yeah, fast forward like 12 years.
Yep, it was this last June when we went to the Midwest Gaming Classic. we were all wandering around, and in this one booth, I saw, lo and behold, great game for kids. Hell, a cyberpunk thriller.
I think they actually had it labeled that way, too. A great game for kids. Well, they should have.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to buy this. It was $10, so I bought it. And it took a while, but finally, last week, I went over to Jones's, and he pulled out his good old 3DO. It still worked.
That's right. It was still rocking.
Hell, a cyberpunk thriller. Now, I don't have any kids, and neither does Jones, but it, as it turns out, I don't think it was really a very good game for kids, or...
Really anyone,
yeah,
probably.
It wasn't very good.
It was like talking the game.
Yeah, it's imagine like Monkey Island, except for with more talking and not funny. That's pretty much what it was like. Oh, and with 3D graphics and not 2D graphics. Monkey Island's a really cool game, though. It's an old LucasArts game. Anyway, it was kind of funny. There was a, I believe it was the Grace Jones character. It's this woman with robotic arms. And see, when people talk in this game, they've got like this, they just do the same animation over and over and over. Like the bartender had that glass.
Kept washing it.
Anyway, Grace Jones is this woman with robot arms, and her animation move is her arms go up, and then they go down, and they go up and down. And then she's like, "You have failed me. Since you have no need for your balls, they are now mine." And I'm like, wow. It was pretty funny. And I didn't find Dennis Hopper, but apparently he's in it too.
Yes. Don't know if we ever will find him.
I don't know if I can bite that bullet, but I still have it. It's up there on my little shelf.
It's looming up there.
Hell, a cyberpunk thriller.
It's a cautionary tale for
maybe
anyone.
If I ever have kids, which I probably won't, I'll be like, well, you're 5 years old now. I've got a video game for you. It's called Hell, a cyberpunk thriller. My dad gave me this game, and now I'm passing it on to you.
Let me call up Jones so you can play it, since he has a 3DO.
I'm not buying one. But Funkoland, that was a really fun store.
Yeah, I always would have liked to work at one of those sorts of places, but, you know.
But the reason I thought of that story, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but remember, we used to have Funkoland in Madison here, then it turned into a GameStop.
Yeah.
And then they filled the store up with shit, just mm-hmm. like you talked about, like Best Buy. Like, every conceivable inch is covered with something now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a night. It's some sort of strange nightmare if you walk into GameStop. I don't know what it is, but
I haven't bought anything just, there in a while. Oh, yeah, because, you know, everything they have has Chip Smashers in it. Why would I want
this? Yes. Yeah, we wandered over there a few weeks ago because there was some sort of online thing where you could go to, like, Ubisoft's site, print out this page, and then if you went into a GameStop, they had, like, this decoder thing that you put your page up under for Assassin's Creed, and if it, you know, was right, then you'd win a copy of the game or something
like
that.
Oh, we should talk about Assassin's Creed.
But we lost, but it was funny because Kurt and I, we just go cruising in the door. Thankfully, the thing was, like, right by the door, so we go up, we check it, we walk right back out. Like, screw this place.
We used to joke when we worked at Funkoland, me and my friends, there could be other stores. One of them was Suncoland, buy and sell used kids. We were bored. Nice. We came up with this shit. That was the only one I can think of. That was back when you could buy a Mario cartridge for 5 cents.
Nice.
That was back before it cost $5.
Hmm.
Actually, I bought like 60 of them, and I was going to make a chair. I don't know what happened.
Oh, I remember that old plan.
They've got to be somewhere.
Yeah?
That's awesome.
Of course, yeah, I think you need more than 60 to make a chair, though.
I had a pretty good size box. Oh, I did. It probably was... Well, there's no boxes in here, but it's probably... I had quite a few.
Hmm.
Anyway, that was kind of a stupid way to spend my money, but...
That's okay. I think we've all done dumber things with money at one time or another, so...
That's up there on my list, though. Well, do you want to talk about Assassin's Creed, since we got to see that the other day? And
sure.
Go ahead, you're the one who was playing it.
Yeah, we got the chance to play that... What the hell was that, Friday night, I guess?
Yeah, it was the same night as Hell, a cyberpunk thriller.
Oh, yeah.
Great game for kids.
That's right, yeah, it was a banner evening for gaming. And, pop it in... Fire up a new game, start going, and the screen's, like, sitting there, like, blinking and cutting between screens and just being, like, all distorted. Yeah, nobody has a face, and it's just like, what in the hell is going on?
Oh, we should put out, this is not a spoiler warning, because this happens at the beginning of the game.
Yes, so don't even worry about it. But we're like, what the hell is going on here? And
like all the like the DNA symbols and like the
there's all this crap like floating in space around you, all this stuff, and finally you like kind of get like woken up and you're in the future on some, it's not really an operating table, but you're in some sort of lab or whatever, and there's these people there conducting some sort of experiment, and apparently, you know, it's some crap where like all of your ancestors are in your DNA or something, so they're doing this thing to like get back to one of your ancestors back in like the 12th century or something. I don't know what the hell their reason was for doing it.
Maybe they're trying to find something and trying to make you remember where the Ark of the Covenant is. Because remember, the Ark of the Covenant showed up in it too. Remember?
Yes, it did. Yeah, right away. So maybe there'll be some payoff at the end. I don't know, but
that's the kind of twist was, you put near the end of the game, not at the beginning.
Unless there's gonna be some other big twist later in the game. I don't know, but it. You know, they're sitting there playing it, and it's like, it keeps, like, doing this crap where it keeps it's, like, jumping you back into the future and stuff, like, into this, you know, I don't know, digital space or something. I don't even know how the hell to describe it, but it was just freaking weird. Like, the whole time we were playing, it was just like, what the hell is this?
Then it has, like, the tutorial in the beginning, then everything's, like, crapping out. Then it goes, you know, like, you're in the future, and then you've got this guy who sounds like the guy from Half-Life. He's like, well, you're DNA memories, blah, blah, bullshit, 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 bullshit. It's like, all right, we're going to put you back in this thing. And then you're in the machine again, then you do the tutorial training all over again.
Yeah.
Like in this, like,
empty, like in the gameplay then, actually, at that point.
Right, but it's like in this, like, this memory wasteland where everything's, like, blue with symbols floating around and, like, some characters floating around.
Yeah, it's like nothing except there's, like, a building sitting in front of you or something, but then everything else is just a blank slate,
so
basically.
It's probably a good half hour before you're actually in the past, you know, kicking ass in Jerusalem. But even then, you'll be walking down, like, a tunnel, and then the end of the tunnel will be, like, a bunch of, like, blue stuff.
Like
and it's
DNA
like
strand
memory
type
missing
stuff.
Or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in that movie, The 13th Floor, where they got to the edge of their world, and it was, like, all wireframe.
Yeah, same thing.
So if you were expecting a straightforward Crusades-type game, no.
Yeah. Don't expect the expected.
I mean, I can't even vouch for the gameplay, but all that stuff was like, I was like, what the hell is this? I've never been so confused.
Yeah, I thought the gameplay was okay. It was kind of odd how, like, a lot of the stuff, like, you'd have to hold the right trigger down, and that kind of put you into, like, an action mode.
Yeah.
So when you had right trigger held down, then you could hit, like, the A button to jump. But if you didn't have the right trigger held down, then the A button was used to, I don't know, open a door or something like that, whatever. But it had a lot of kind of, I wouldn't say, you know, probably more complex than usual game controls, I would say. But
well, the graphics were really good.
Yeah, I thought it looked great, and I thought the, you know, it controlled fine. I guess some people have said online that, you know, the controls aren't that hot for it, but I didn't have a problem with the actual gameplay. It's just that there's a lot to remember and a lot to know when you're playing through it. But I was disappointed because I was like, you know, all this game needs to be is a dude kicking ass back in the 12th century in Jerusalem, going around and assassinating people, kicking ass, whatever. That's all it needs to be. You don't need all this, you know, futuristic psychobabble bullshit that they slapped in there. And I don't, maybe there's some big payoff at the end of the game, I don't know.
Yeah, it would be like if you're watching The Matrix and Keanu Reeves woke up in the real world, like, 2 minutes into the game, or the movie.
Yes.
It's about what it
was
like.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah.
Well, I would imagine that they're probably trying to, the people in the present day are trying to find out where something is.
I'd say that's probably right.
Like the second twist that you'll see coming a mile off, but I wasn't going to buy it anyway, but I was like, way too high concept.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. That was actually one of the games that I was kind of saddened that I wasn't going to buy it, because there's just been so much other stuff to buy that was one of the ones that had to fall by the wayside.
But they never talked about all this gimmicky crap all along. It always looked like a straightforward.
Yeah.
You know?
But now that I've played it, I'm like, I don't feel so bad about not having bought it or whatever.
Well, it's almost like they're using the memory past machine as an excuse for why you have a HUD.
Yeah.
Did you get that? It's like, what? Just put in a frickin' HUD. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah,
Okay, well, why don't we move on to the other game we got to see the other day because of the Broken Street date.
Yes, Mass Effect.
You see, in the future, some people dig up some crap on Mars, alien technology, and they figure out how to do warp drives to the stars.
Yeah.
And the technology is called Mass Effect.
We have a title. Which I was glad they explained that right away, because I was...
Yeah, that was cool.
This whole time I've been like, what the hell does Mass Effect even mean? I mean, it sounds cool, but when you think about the title, it's like, what is that?
But then you find out that it, that was cool how it did it, and it's like, this energy is called, and I'm like, oh, here comes the title, Mass Effect! Well, I have to admit, it's one of the more... I mean, I probably won't buy it. It's not really my cup of tea. But man, it looked impressive.
Yeah, I know you were... gushing over it, and it looks, you know, like we talked about when we were playing it or whatever the other night, it, you know, it looks more like a movie when you're playing it, like the way that certain things are kind of out of focus in the background,
right.
And like the, you know, the character is in focus, but then like stuff behind him is out of focus, just like you'd see in a film.
Right, and they rack focus. I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of these games recently which have focal effects, like in Call of Duty 4, when you look down your sights, the sights are in focus, but everything around you is out of focus,
yeah.
Which is, you know, cool. But right, this game is, Mass Effect uses the focal effects as they would in a movie during the cutscenes. Like, you have a close-up of the character, the background's out of focus, for instance, and yeah. It's really neat looking.
And then, yeah, like you were saying, then it'll actually, like, if there's a couple of characters in the scene, it'll actually do
rack
the
focus.
Rack focus over to whoever, you know, you should be paying attention to or whatever, and it just, I don't know, it's like a semi-subtle thing, but it kind of takes the game into a whole other level just by, you know, visually anyway, but...
And even beyond that, like, the facial graphics look really good.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, people have been talking about that game for a long time, and, you know, I only got to play it for, like, maybe a half hour.
Oh, you have it pre-ordered, don't you?
Yeah.
So. At Best Buy.
Yes.
Hmm.
What are we going to do tomorrow morning?
I guess, you know, I might be up for that.
But,
so it kind of looks like Oblivion in space?
I mean, it's, you know, it's probably, you know, it's kind of a very raw, naive comparison, I suppose. But it's like, I guess kind of the comparison is that, you know, Oblivion's like this enormous world where there's just tons of stuff you can do, and you don't have to do everything, but if you want, you can just keep exploring, and seemingly forever. And from what I've seen from Mass Effect, it's similar, because it's like you have... There's, like, multiple galaxies you can go to, and then within those galaxies, there's, like, all sorts of planetary systems that you can go to. So it's, you know, it's not, like, this linear adventure or this one where, oh, you can go to, like, these 8 different places. I mean, it looks like it's, you know, like, you know, dozens of places that you can go to and explore and meet different characters. And you can, like, you know, power up your equipment and your armor and things. And it was pretty cool, too. I liked how it's, you know, it's like a RPG because you're, you know, you level up your character in different ways and all that, but at the same time, it's like real-time combat, where, like, it's like an FPS, almost.
Again, it sounds like Oblivion.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's like, I guess with guns, though, you know.
So it's Oblivion with guns in
space. Yes.
Well, that sounds good. Maybe I will get it.
Yeah, what the hell more do you need in a game, I guess.
It's like, we're going to make Oblivion in space. I don't know if that's enough. Okay, and it'll have guns. How much money do you want?
Yeah, and it's neat, like, during the conversations and stuff, you'll get, you know, multiple options of how to respond or whatever, and you can actually, like, cut the other characters off while they're talking, you know, depending on when you choose your response. And so it's like all in real time, I guess, is how you would have to look at that. And I don't know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, playing that game in depth, but on the surface at this point, I can definitely see why people have been, you know, pretty much all year saying this is the game for Game of the Year mentions, probably. And, you know, it's the only one that I thought that had a chance to knock off BioShock. And
what about Mario Galaxy?
No, not so much. Good, but not great, I would say. So, again, I didn't get to play it for hours on end.
Yes, but does anyone in Mass Effect say, I'm Andrew Ryan?
No, they don't. That's true. And there's no would you kindlies and no injections of any kind that I saw. But there is like a lesbian scene, I guess, if you play as a female character.
So it's like hot alien coffee?
Yes, except they just came right out and said it's in here. So, but yeah, so there you go. You got that too. For whatever that's worth.
So let me get this straight. It's Oblivion in space with guns
and
with hot
lesbo
action.
Yes. How could this not be the greatest game ever made?
Thank you, kind sir.
Now only if they had that guy in it. Thank you, kind sir.
So when you get to that point in the game, are you going to be the guy or the girl when you go in there?
Well, you have to make that choice at the beginning, though, with what your character is.
But can't you switch characters during the game?
Well, this is like your main character, though. You can't change...
I thought you could have made him a woman?
Yeah, at the beginning, they give you the option of either just kind of going with the John Shepherd or whatever his name is.
Uh-huh.
Or you can, like, create your own. And then create your own.
I assumed you'd play that woman that you meet early on, and she'd be the one that would, you know, get in there with the
yes.
hot lesbo action.
Yeah, all that stuff worked really well, too. Like, right in the gameplay, you know, you come up on these people early on, and you help them fight off the enemy or whatever, and then you go into a cutscene where you're talking to this woman, but it's like, you know, all just like it's in the in-game engine. It's not so much mm-hmm. a cutscene or whatever, I guess, as, you know, we would typically think of them
right.
as.
And it all looks really good.
Yeah, it really is very impressive looking. Like all the facial animations and things. It's yeah, so there you go, Mass Effect, the game that has... It's Oblivion in space with guns and hot lesbo action. Good times there.
That's going to be like, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, the music for that game was really good, too, actually. I played that Time Shift game also, I guess.
That actually... I was surprised at how good that looked.
Yeah, I hadn't really heard anything about that game, but it's...
I've seen a couple ads for it on the TV.
You know, I guess it's what, kind of like a futuristic FPS, and you're like some kind of futuristic soldier or whatever.
Yeah, the usual bullshit.
The
you
usual
travel through
crap.
Time. It reminded me a lot of Half-Life.
Yeah, I would agree that, like, just the way the levels looked, I don't know any better way to say it than that. But
well, yeah, or like you'd be walking around and, you know, there'd be two people over in the corner having a conversation about something. That's kind of the Half-Life-iness I saw in it.
Yeah, the graphics were pretty damn good in it. It was kind of surprising, like, because that one scene we were playing through, it was raining and all that, and like when you'd go outside and stuff, just the water effects looked really good with the rain and...
I mean, it's a title you really haven't heard that much about, but sometimes you kind of get the impression that, you know, if it's not like a AAA title or a high-profile title, the graphics won't be all that. And I don't know, this game looked really good.
Yeah, yeah.
How did it play?
Yeah, I thought it played, you know, as good as pretty much any other FPS. Like, you know, controls are all pretty similar between any of them, so...
It'll probably be the new Red Faction. Remember that game on the PS2?
Yeah. Got its little cult following.
Yep.
So...
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it'd be worth looking into, I'd say. So.
Well, we have about... we're up to 55 minutes already.
Awesome.
What about this Beowulf movie that allegedly we might go see today?
Yeah.
We talked about this the other day. I mean, we're saying, like, Robert Zemeckis should, like, go find a film camera again and pick it up.
Yes. Yeah, it seems like he's kind of almost... I don't know, not power mad, but I read some quote from this.
He's like, I am Zemeckis!
Yeah. But I read an interview or some quote from the guy who wrote it, and he was like talking about the process of writing the screenplay and all that, and Zemeckis came up to him at some point and said, you know, he's like, it seems like you're holding back here, you know, he's like, I don't care, write anything that you want, I can make it happen. And all that, you know. He's like, I can film anything, is actually what he said. And it's like, oh, boy. But, you know, it's like, we were kind of lamenting this the other day. It seems like, you know, we had the Polar Express, and, you know, like, there was Gollum and things like that. And
now he's going to make a, basically, Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey as every character.
Yeah, and he's got this Beowulf, and he's going to do that. It's like his, you know, Zemeckis seems like he's never going to film anything live action again, is the way it's looking. And it really sucks.
Did he do any movie between Castaway and Polar Express?
I don't think so, because he did, like, Castaway and What Lies Beneath in the same... Like, they came out in the same year.
Well, yeah, because they filmed beginning of Castaway first, and then, yeah.
Waited for Tom to fatten up or whatever, or slim down, whichever way it went. But yeah, it's, you know, the whole digital filmmaking thing, I guess. And, you know, you got to kind of wonder how far it's going to go. It's, you know, it... Like we talked about the other day with Zemeckis films in particular, since he seems to be pushing this stuff as more than anybody is, you know, there'd be some things in his older films where he'd use technology, like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit or whatever, you know, the Back to the Futures, and he had really crazy, cool effects that he was doing in those movies, but the thing was that the characters, there were real physical world things that were interacting with these effects.
Right.
Which made it more impressive and more interesting.
Like that shot you showed me in Contact, where she runs into the mirror and then it reverses or whatever. If you're doing it on the computer, or I mean, as a, you know, whole CG movie, you would just click, make this happen, you know?
Yeah,
but in the real world, you have to figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah. And
or like when you have the transparent floor under Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, and What Lies Beneath, and... You know, he's always kind of, you know, pushed the boundaries, especially, like, in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, I guess, for what you can do with filmmaking and all that. But now we, you know, now it's like you watch something like Polar Express, and it's like, well, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in that, but it's like, well, you know, it's not as impressive, because, you know, well, you just crapped it out in a computer, and, you know, that's all well
and good.
Well,
even if it's crapped out on a computer, it's a lot better when it has, like,
purpose.
Well,
serves
purpose
the story.
And when it's put into a you know, realistic setting.
Yes.
I mean, like,
yeah.
When everything's rendered, it's not as impressive as, you know, some liquid metal guy going through a hole in a helicopter or something. You know, where you've got a real effect and then the computer has to hook up to it. Or when you have, like, the Gollum character, you know, beating up Elijah Wood, who eats hookers. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
But when I saw Polar Express, I liked it.
Well, Polar Express, it fit the story more. You know, like, there's some stuff in that it's like you're not going to be able to physically film it. Like, the whole sequence with the train. Like, I don't know if you saw the part with the train where it's,
I saw when it was, like, going, on the ice and stuff.
Yeah, and all that. And it's, like, goes up this big circular hill and stuff. And, you know, it's... You know, that was kind of a fantastical story or whatever you want to say. And, you know, kind of almost a fairy tale in a way anyways. So... It lends itself a bit better to that sort of thing, I think, but, you know, it's... I just really want to... You know, Bob, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but pick up a damn camera again and just go and film somebody for real and see how it feels. I bet you it'll feel really good, and it'll make a lot of people happy, because, you know, you're the dude that did Romancing the Stone, Used Cars, the Back to the Future movies...
Wow, Robert Zemeckis kicks ass.
Yeah, I mean, he's, like, right there with Spielberg as far as, like, being the most bankable directors, I'd say, like, over the course of their careers, because he's always, you know, Forrest Gump, you know, another one, you know, it's like he just cranks out quality and successful movies, like, every time, pretty much.
Well, Who Framed Roger Rabbit is one of my favorite movies, another one of my favorite movies, It's funny that I don't like movies that are about making movies, but two of my favorite movies are about making
Wood
movies.
And
Ed Wood and Hooper Clutch Rabbit.
Yeah.
But, and they're both made by Touchstone / Disney. But, again, one of the best things about that movie, and it's a really good movie, and it's really damn impressive that they pulled it off. And they did that without any computers at all.
Yeah.
It was all photo printers and moving sheets of celluloid and transparencies and...
Yeah,
probably 5 trillion work hours.
Yeah, I bet.
I guess that was, if you listen to the commentary on that, I guess that was the most expensive movie ever when it was made.
Really?
But they kept that very well.
Hush, hush.
They kept it a secret so that wouldn't become the
story or whatever.
Right.
So
the story would be the technology, not like this is Waterworld or Titanic or Heaven's Gate, where all we care about is how much money we've spent.
So did they say what the dollar figure was, or did they just say it was the most expensive at the time? And
I think I looked it up. I think it was like $50
million. Okay.
Which,
yeah. Well, it's like 20 years ago, so.
Well, I mean, there's some other movies, old movies, that had really high budgets, although they also say that Superman 1, I guess, allegedly they spent almost $50 million on. The first Star Trek movie, I guess, was like 40 or something.
Well, that was like Cleopatra back in the early 60s. That was like, I think they spent like 24 or 25 million or something.
That's true.
And that was like early 60s.
I think Total Recall is actually the most expensive movie then.
And it kicks ass.
We should do a podcast where we go through all the most expensive movies in history in order.
Yeah.
You know? So what would it be now? Spider-Man 3, I suppose?
Yeah, probably. Depends if you adjust
until
for
Avatar
inflation,
goes over
I suppose.
Budget.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I went there.
Yeah, that'll be like a $300 million
movie. Did you know True Lies was the most expensive movie ever made when it came out?
Oh,
they,
yeah?
They didn't talk about it very much, but it was.
Yeah, I could see.
Until Waterworld came out.
I actually just watched that. Like a couple days ago, popped it in for some reason.
Did I ever show you my shell casing I have from that movie?
Uh-uh.
I actually have an ejected shell casing that Arnold fired in the scene with
yes.
all the crates. I don't know if I ever told you that before. I don't know where it is. It might be in at my parents' house.
Which scene was it?
You know when he's down in Florida, and it's just, you know, the scene where it's like the guy's like got Jamie Lee Curtis or whatever,
yeah.
and Arnold's like shooting everyone with the AK-47.
Yeah.
I've got one of the rounds he expended.
Nice.
I actually worked with this woman whose husband was a fire chief in that area, so he was actually on the set, and he like picked him up with souvenirs, and he gave me one.
Sweet.
I guess I never told you that story.
No, that's cool.
Yep. So, great story. All right, well, we went overtime. It's overtime! So.
But yeah, so as I tell Bob to get back on the horse, I'm probably going to go and see his new CG creation, so I'm kind of full of shit, I guess, but that's all right. Somebody's got to be.
All right, well, I guess we'll talk to you next time.
Adios.
And happy gaming. Bob, pick up a camera.